I hope my prayer is today that the Holy Spirit would minister to all of us. And as we read God's word, that the Holy Spirit would minister to you. And that he would encourage you today. So, Ina, can you share Psalm 25?
Psalm 25. And unto you, do you want me to read the whole psalm? Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. O my God, I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. Let me not be put to shame, or my hope in you be disappointed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yes, let none who trust and wait hopefully and look for you be put to shame or be disappointed. Let them be ashamed who forsake the right or deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and faithfulness and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, you only and altogether do I wait expectantly all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercy and loving kindness, for they have been ever from of old.
And I like verse 14, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Mm-hmm. My eyes are ever on the Lord. Mm-hmm. For only he will release my feet from the snare. Mm-hmm. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I'm lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased, and how fiercely they have hated me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. You know, this week I was reading 1 Chronicles 20, and it made me start thinking about other things. And I think when adversity comes, when we are forced to face problems and pressures that are too big for us to solve, in this way God gets our attention. Does he ever get your attention in adversities? I think he loves using adversities at times to get our attention. We can't continue to pursue our goals and tasks and relationships in same manner. We have to stop and evaluate and ask God for wisdom, to obey his word and to trust him to bring help in our situation. That's an awesome psalm. I think of how it goes with this. You know, troubles point to our weaknesses. How many of us know that we're weak? And I think in our weaknesses, it's a good place to be because we can't get proud and that we have to draw from the Lord. Troubles point to our weaknesses and prompts us to rely on God in ways that we would not do so in our own strength. You know, Jesus invites us. You know, what's Matthew 11, 28 to 30? He says, come unto me. Jesus says this. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's like when we learn about the Lord, we lean on him, he gives us rest. How many of us are tired? In adversity, he wants us to come. He wants us to come daily to learn from him, to rest in him, because he helps us through whatever we're going through. Adversity reminds us that Jesus is present and that we are and we are accountable to him. For every thought, word, and action, God's word reveals that fear of the Lord is the key to life, wisdom, lasting achievement. If we lose our awareness of God, we begin to think and act if he does not exist. Hard times expose our pride because they highlight our need for God. In the midst of adversity, seek to grow in humility and receive God's grace with gratitude. That's a hard pill to swallow. Isn't it? It's amazing how when the Lord really grabs hold of you, and you're like, man, I don't like this adversity. It's like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? That really shows the love of God. So in the midst of these trials, do not be overwhelmed or don't give in to the temptation of giving up. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Press in. Because sometimes, I know in the last few weeks, I mean, I feel like, oh, I just want to give up. Mm-hmm. Then I'm reminded that I'm in a race. God has placed me in a race. He's placed you in a race. And he's cheering us on. I think of Hebrews 12, right? And Paul encourages us to be strong, courageous, and prepared to be good soldiers. So Ephesians 6, it says, right? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we are in a spiritual battle. I think that's why we get so tired, so weary, because we're unaware that we're in a spiritual battle. We forget. You know, God has a plan for you. But Satan also has a plan to derail you, to discourage you, to make you take your eyes off the Lord and put your eyes on the issues at hand instead of putting our eyes onto Christ, who gives us rest. As we learn of him, lean on him, and trust him, he gives us rest. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all this, to stand, to have the right position. Do you know, I remember in football, we learned how to take a hit, how to stand so you didn't get knocked over, how you have the right posture, right? It didn't matter your size, but if you had the right posture, you could actually take on a bigger person. Even Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. When Zane was learning Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Eric could probably flip me over his back by using my weight against me because he had the right posture. He could flip me over. This is what God is saying, that he enables us to stand and to withstand. That's right. How is our posture with the Lord today? Mm-hmm. Are we trusting him or are we relying on our own strength? Stand therefore, having your loins girded around about the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet just have your feet, just firmly planted with the preparation of the gospel. As we read the word of God, it prepares us for the battle at hand. You know, the gospel is the gospel of peace. When we read the word of God, it brings peace to our heart. It encourages us, reminds us of the love of God, and that he loves his children. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye all should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereon with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I thought I used the New King James, or the King James Version, so I'm not used to that. I'm trying to expand. But with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Faith and trusting is essential for a child of God because the ways of God are opposite of man's ways. Do you ever notice that? How opposite the world is compared to God's ways? Adversity may come at hand of those who mock God's principles. Or they come when we violate God's commands. Adversity is designed to strengthen our faith, reliance, dependence, and trust in God Almighty. So 1 Peter 1, 6-7. For a season, if need be, ye are in the heavenlies through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it may be tried with fire. That's what happens when we go through trials. It reveals things in our lives that the Lord really wants to deal with. And sometimes we go through trials more often. We're like, oh my goodness, this season I'm going through some trials. Lord, what are you trying to reveal to me? But give unto praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus. We praise the Lord that he's working in our lives. He's sanctifying us. You know, I've seen and felt experience at times a loss of joy, of hope, of encouragement. And you know, I feel like there's a spirit of oppression. There's a spirit of oppression that is operating at times. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves to put on the full armor of God. Because if Satan desires to make us oppressed, feeling to give up, because we're in a battle. And how do you get encouraged? The word? Fellowship, encouraging one another in the faith, to pray for one another, to call up somebody and says, you know what, I need prayer today. Can we just meet for coffee? There's a battle happening. There is a battle. And as the day is getting closer to the return of the Lord, that we would meet him in the air, it's going to get worse. The battle is going to get more fierce. And as the body of Christ, we press in and to rely on the Lord. You know, it's even the spirit of negativity that's moving across this land. People are so negative. The spirit of fear. Have you ever seen so many people fearful? The spirit of defeat. People just want to give up. I think of the suicides that have gone up through this last 18 months. Drug overdoses, because people are defeated. They just want to give up. They're tired, yes. You know, just even how it's affecting our families. Even marriages, how it affects marriages. You think of the church, how it's affecting the church. So why is this happening? It's just a question. Perhaps it's because a greater love for ourselves rather than God Almighty. Maybe we're becoming more aware of the spiritual battle that we're in. Perhaps the Lord is using what is happening around us to purify us and make us more dependent on Him. Those are just kind of questions that popped in my mind. Is like, why is this happening? When I was reading 1 Chronicles 20 and verses 5 to 8 really stood out to me. And it just, then it made me start thinking about Goliath and David and Goliath. So if we read to, if we turn to 1 Samuel 17, because we're going to start there first. And it just, 1 Samuel 17 is, we think of how the king saw how he was depended less and less on the Lord. Right? He was a king that was anointed. He, at the beginning, he followed the Lord, but then he started doing things on his own. He started to compromise. He started to not really look to the Lord. And I think, you think of Goliath. How tall was Goliath? 9 feet, 9 inches. So could you imagine, here's Goliath, a man that's 9 feet, 9 inches. Like, I don't know how tall the ceiling is. But here's this man, I got to think about how big he was. You know, his spear weighed 15 pounds, right? You could imagine the muscles on him and the, just the armor that he wore. You know, King Saul depended on his strength and his ability rather than depending on the Lord Almighty. When we stand in our own strength and abilities, it puts us in chains. It hinders us to move forward in the Lord, especially when we have fear, feeling defeated and doubting, especially when we start doubting the Word of God. Satan wants us to doubt the Word of God. So in, as we read 1 Samuel 17, I'll turn there. In verse, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 3, it says, the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, and the valley in between them. So they're on opposite sides, and there's a valley in between them. So they're postured for war, right? So they're ready for battle. Verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, Why do you come out and line up for battle? For I am not a Philistine, and you are not the servants of Saul. Choose a man and have him come down to me. So here he is, he's taunting Israel. And Israel was fearful. They were fearful of Goliath. Here they were being taunted by him. Have you ever been taunted? Day after day after day? And how weary it gets. In verse 10, then the Philistine, so Goliath said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's word, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Here's a giant that's taunting Israel. They become dismayed and terrified. So when we, what was happening? They went through battles before, but they were not depending on the Lord. They seen what's happening in the physical and became terrified. And they were like, I can't do this. What's happening? Is there giants that we should be aware of in our own lives?
Yes.
Is there giants and or sins that want to destroy your life? Yes. They want that giant or that sin wants to put you in chains, to take your hope, assurance, to discourage you, to make you terrified. But God has a plan for you. And I mentioned that before in Hebrews 12. So we'll read Hebrews 12. And I'm going to read it in NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinful men, so that you will not, I would just actually highlight if NIV says, you will not grow weary and lose heart. I love that. Jesus, when we have our eyes fixed on him, and we are depending on him, I know at times we're not going to always have our eyes on him, but when we do have our eyes on him, he's going to make you so you will not grow weary and lose heart. As we press in and get to know who Jesus is, to trust the Word of God, depend on the Word of God, that Word of God actually helps us so we will not become weary and lose heart. And I think of, in 1 Samuel, how these guys lost heart. They lost their position because they were not trusting in the Lord. They were depending on themselves. You look at what the king, King Saul, was doing and how his actions affected the men in the army. So this one, I'll turn to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 20. So when I was reading this week, I don't know what day it was, but I think it was Tuesday, I was like, when I read 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5, or even, and it's just even to 5 to 8, so forgive me for not pronouncing these names correctly. So in another battle with the Philistines, Amlai, son of Jar, killed Lemum, the brother of Goliath, who had a spear like a shaft, like a weaver's rod. And still another battle, so it was another battle, which took place at Galath. And there was a huge man with six fingers. Can you imagine? Here's a man with six fingers. Like, I'm trying to think of Maroon's hand. It's a big hand with Maroon's hand, you know, another finger on it. And add Ryan's hand to it. So you look at Maroon and Ryan's hand together. Here's this man. He has six fingers on one hand, six fingers on the other, six toes, and six. So it's 24 digits. It's a big man. Right? So here this guy, So with on each toe, 24 in all, he also was a descendant from Ralph. When he taunted Israel, do you notice how they taunt? Your enemy wants to taunt you. When people want to taunt you, that means they want you to react in a way that is not, maybe sometimes in a godly manner. Right? When people taunt you, they want to see how you're going to react. They're taunting you. Goliath taunted Israel. And what happened to Israel in 1 Samuel 17 is like they got dismayed, discouraged. They gave up hope. They, like, oh, I can't do this. Right? Here again, in 1 Chronicles 20, this giant's taunting. So when he taunted Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shema, David's brother. So it says, Jonathan is David's nephew. These are all the... So what happened? These guys killed these giants. They didn't become fearful, but they took on giants. We see the different perspective. How what happened between 1 Samuel 17 and 1 Corinthians 19, the perspective changed. We see in 1 Chronicles 20, we see hope, we see faith, we see expectance, victory, reliance, strength to overcome. Totally opposite of 1 Samuel 17. So what happened? What was the change? Who was the king in 1 Samuel? Saul. And what happened? And who was the king in 1 Chronicles 20? David. So what was the difference? Okay?
Confidence.
Confidence, yeah. So who did they depend on? That's the difference. Who were they depending on? Right? They were depending, David depended on God. So we'll go back to 1 Samuel 17, 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." David did not depend on his abilities, strength, wisdom, or to defeat the enemy. Only when we as individuals have our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Almighty, and put on his armor, so we're depending on him, trusting him, relying on him alone, then we can experience victory. David defeated Goliath because he says, "I come in the name of the Lord God Almighty." He knew where his strength came from. He knew where he was able to face the giant. Saul depended on himself, and he was defeated. Brought terror, brought dismay. I think of how when David, how his faith and trust, I know he was not a perfect man. He made so many mistakes. He did a lot of things, but he trusted the Lord. He repented when he made mistakes, and the Lord strengthened him. The Lord encouraged him and helped him. But he knew where his strength came from. When he came up against Goliath, you think of now his offspring knew how to depend on God because they've seen how their uncle, their king, depended on God Almighty. to be strengthened, to be encouraged. So when we say, Lord Jesus, only you can do it, I think that's what happens. We try to do things in our own strength. And that's why we get discouraged. That's why we get dismayed. That's why we get frustrated, tired, want to give up. Instead of asking the Lord, Lord, strengthen me today. Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the right perspective. It's the right stance. Knowing that I'm not strong enough to do this. But it's the Lord that strengthens me, who strengthens you every day. That's the hope that we have. And that's the encouragement we have to be able to face the giants that's in this land, in our lives. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you in prayer, and Lord, I pray that you'd help me through this time of trial and whatever I'm going through. Lord, I need your strength to encourage me today. Help me, Lord, to have the right perspective to face this giant. Lord, let me put on this full armor of God and continue to pray for that person who wants to taunt me. Lord, I come against that scheme of the enemy that tries to make me look at the issue instead of looking at you. The Lord will continue to help you through it, navigate through that. As I shared, I've been learning to keep my mouth shut at times. Because I get my mouth going and it just causes more issues. You know, so when we say we cannot do it, it's saying, Lord Almighty, I believe you can deliver me. Because only He can deliver us. I will abide and trust and rely and put my faith in you, and no matter what I see, Lord, help me. Help me to depend on you and not in my strength or abilities to be the functional Lord of my life. And I think of John 15. You know, it just, before John 15. John 15, it says, Jesus is saying this. He goes, I am the vine. I am the true vine. And the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. I think when we go through adversities and trials, sometimes it's a bit of a pruning. He's pruning some of the garbage off of us and revealing things where we're not depending on Him alone, where we're trusting in our own abilities. In Ephesians 3, I want to close with this. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21 says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that what is the width, the height, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So my hope is that we'll be rooted and grounded in Christ. To have the perspective. The proper perspective. knowing, Lord, that I am weak. But thank you, Lord, that through my weakness that I'm made strong, only because of you, who is my backbone. So I was encouraged by that word from the Lord this week, and I was like, what giants, Lord? I think we all have giants, right? But what perspective do we have? And where does our the correct perspective come from? So we'll close in prayer. If anybody wants prayer, we could pray with you, and I could pray with you. So Father, I pray that you would help us to have the right perspective. And I thank you, Lord, that you change your perspectives and that you actually help us to see who you are in our lives and how much we need more of you. So Lord, I pray that as we read and meditate on your word, Lord, that the roots, that we be rooted and grounded in you, to trust you and depend on you. Lord, that you would be, whatever giants that we're facing, whatever has been taunting us, Lord, Lord, we put on the full armor of God to withstand the schemes of the enemy. So Lord, give us only ears to hear from you and eyes to see what you're doing. And Lord, help us to trust in you and depend on you. And Lord, to be abiding in your word. Lord, I just pray that you would revive us. Lord, where there's tiredness and weariness, where we want to give up hope and just want to walk away, I pray, Father, that you would supernaturally touch each everyone today and encourage them and just allow your joy to overflow in their lives. Lord, there would be their walk would be a lighter walk. There would be such a new peace, a new joy, be encouraged. I pray, Father, for encouragement. I pray, Father, for an overflowing joy of the Lord in people's lives. And Lord, thank you that you are the hope that we desire. Thank you, you're the true hope. Lord, help us and guide us. I ask this in Jesus' name.